And welcome back, hour number two. There is so much going on this planet now, and it's not good. And you can call it the Jeff and Erica horror show if you want, but it's the Jeff and Erica reality presentation. We're doing our best. The oldest expression that really always impressed me was, know thy enemy. And unless we know what we're up against, how the hell are we even going to begin to mount any kind of a counterattack or at least a stalling technique of some kind? It's bad out there. This thing is, whoever did it, and I know they talk about Ralph Baric and Peter Daszak, and there are many more people involved. And I would suggest that, in my view, I'm not speaking for anyone else, the sky's the limit on who might be involved with this thing. It is so anti-life. My God, it does horrible things to the body that the body cannot deal with, cannot recover from. And now we're finding out that people have taken the shot 2+ years ago, and all of a sudden they're showing up with heart problems, heart damage. It sometimes takes time. Generally speaking, it is suggested that no matter what age you are, when you take these injections, these bioweapon death shots, the death vaccine, your life is shortened at least 25 years, if not more. So this thing was planned, and my goodness, does it work. It's not talked about. This is not a popular thing to discuss around the dinner table with your family. So people don't talk about it unless someone in the family becomes disabled from CJD or any one of a number of other causes, and then they have to be taken care of. And that is awful. Horror on the family, as we've made clear before. So we've got a couple things tonight. John O'Looney, another video. It's a short one, but he's still at it. He is the undertaker, mortuary operator in the UK. He's a good man, one of our favorites, and he always speaks the truth. Then we have another magic bus video, a social worker, what it was like for her to deal with the horrors of COVID. There's another angle that nobody else covers. So we're doing our best to bring you a very broad panorama of what is being deployed against what's left of our society and culture. And there's not a whole lot left. Remember, the younger people, if they're not still living at home with mom and dad, don't want to get involved with much of anything. They love that phone. They love their peers on the phone. And they just don't have it. That's not to say some don't and some do. It's a split. Yes, there are some good young people out there, but they are generally always products of a superior family, great parents. If you didn't have a good set of parents, you got very little chance as a young person anymore. Gen Z is now 28 years and under that to about 12, I think, or 14. And that's Gen Alpha, the next one coming up, Gen Alpha. So you got Gen Z, losers, millennials, losers, with exceptions. But generally speaking, there's nothing happening. Hello there, young lady.
Hi.
What have you been doing?
Listening to you.
Oh, God. Don't you have anything better to do? All right. Well, it's just, you know, it would be really wonderful if we could say, it's there are signs, it's all turning around. People are getting better. I've been in journalism for a long time, and I've never seen anything like this. This story has no positive spin on it to speak of. It's just, if you're lucky, you're in some kind of a stasis, and you're not getting worse. That's the bottom line.
Well, what I'm seeing in a lot of these reports, people, you know, resorting to their regular, traditional, conventional allopathic doctors to try to help them with these injuries.
You mean the liars and frauds out there? Uh-huh.
It's frightening. Most of these people have not even received a diagnosis. I don't know that you can, because as Russell Blaylock had said, we're going to be seeing diseases we don't have names for.
Yes.
So most
of the doctors, hold on. If you go into the average allopathic doctor's office today with a vax injury, we could almost, and I think many of you, could almost write out what's going to happen to you. You can almost write it out. These people are not solving anything. That's why I call them liars and frauds. They've done nothing. They've got nothing.
They're not trained in how to deal with complex chronic illness. They're exceptionally good at emergency medicine
and billing.
Diagnostics in some cases. I mean, we have many tools for the purposes of diagnosing things.
And they're good at billing, don't forget. They know how to bill.
In terms of turning things around, no. I mean, the money is in keeping people as customers, patients.
Well, they put
them on a test merry-go-round. They're trained to write prescriptions that address symptoms.
Exactly. They're trained to write
prescriptions
that address
symptoms. And they're really revealing the extent
symptoms.
Of their...
I like that.
The Rockefeller-trained medical establishment and their incompetence. I mean, so many people have lost trust and faith in the medical establishment. And, you know, if anybody survives this, they won't be frequenting... I don't think that sort of medical paradigm anymore. It doesn't work.
No.
I mean, they can't even fix the disease they created.
No. And I still go back to all the people who push those needles into all those arms. What kind of culpability?
They're still doing it.
They still are. What kind of culpability is there? There's a lot. Because those people, in many cases, know damn well what they're doing. I'm sorry, they just do. After all this time, they know this is not a good thing to do. And they're doing it. Just for the money. Oh, I've got to pay my mortgage. Crazy. All right, we have... and there will be no accountability for them either. Don't forget that. Heart damage showing up 2+ years after getting the deadly injection. So, guy or gal going along fine, all of a sudden, boom, out of the blue, heart damage, heart pains, heart problems. And if they're lucky, they won't drop over dead because this thing will come out of the darkness and just nail you. Tell us more about this, heart damage.
Yeah, we have a reader here. A mother came into the group today and described her ordeal with her now 19-year-old son. We want to read this now?
Yeah, go ahead and start.
I am new to the group. Thank you for your acceptance. Thank you for acceptance. I am hoping to alert you to our family's current crisis and would like to connect with anyone who may be in the same situation. My 16-year-old son had myocarditis after his vax, and it looks like it was Pfizer and Moderna. She says, I believe the group rules suggest this acronym. 2.5 years ago, his troponin levels, heart enzymes, were unmeasurable for 4 days.
What
they
does
were
that
less
mean?
Than 20.
No. I know what troponin is, but how can it get to a point of being not on the charts, off the charts, not there? Isn't that a little odd?
I'm not sure if she's saying they were. I think they were undetectable.
That's what I'm trying to say. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. I mean, heart. The troponin is a sign of heart damage. So they look for that as evidence that the heart has been, you know, damaged.
Right.
So I'm not sure if she's saying that there was no heart damage that was showing up. That's what it appears to be. All right. So he was treated with ibuprofen, Advil, for 3 weeks. The inflammation subsided and enzymes came down. Okay, there's the answer. They were way high, I guess, within relatively good range. He's now 19, and early this week, Monday, April 15th, 2024, he had a cardiac arrest. His life was saved due to the fast-acting personnel at his flight school. He was studying to become a commercial pilot who performed CPR and used defibrillator to shock his heart to normal rhythm. Mm-hmm. He does not smoke, drink, never use drugs, no energy drinks, eats mostly home-cooked healthy food, and lives a healthy lifestyle. He played lots of sports as a child and teen until the COVID shutdown. An MRI of his heart was conducted, and they believe the cause of cardiac arrest as a result of scarring that formed in the heart as a result of the myocarditis.
And he wasn't aware of any of this, apparently. Not much.
Yeah. The defibrillator registry was downloaded and identified his heart had been in VF, ventricular fibrillation, when defibrillator was used. This means his heart was not pumping and was just fluttering.
Fluttering.
In a rapid, unsynchronized way, resulting in little or no blood to be pumped.
That's good. Now, all right, let me run through the rest of this. This idea of fluttering, though, we've heard before. It just kind of sits there and vibrates, okay? It's not pulsing in any organized cadence. It's just fluttering. That's really a good word for it.
Well, the ventricular one is quite a bit more serious than the atrial fibrillation. I mean,
right,
the VF can be deadly, I mean, instantly.
Well, okay. He was not doing anything strenuous at the time of the event. He was sitting in a chair talking to his friends. He felt the need to yawn, felt lightheaded, and collapsed. Boom. Just like that. Think about that, all of you who have been injected, and I don't know what we could suggest that you might do to try to get on top of this before it gets to that point. We'll talk about that in a minute. He has been in hospital for 5 days now, and his heart has been in normal rhythm, and there are no signs of any abnormal heart rate spikes or anything out of ordinary, including good, healthy blood pressure. But what does the blood look like? That's another thing. However, having had this event, he is at high risk of another due to the existence of scars in the heart from the myocarditis. In the next few days, a subcutaneous defibrillator will be implanted as a preventative measure for potential future repeat events. He is being started on bisoprolol. Is that right?
Yeah.
Bisoprolol? I can't see if that's a T or an L. Anyway, he's being started on bisoprolol, we'll say, a beta blocker, to help keep the heart under control. We are at a loss. My heart is broken. I am very grateful he's still alive. Well, this person now will have to live with the idea that he could die at any time. Just collapse. And his heart could start fluttering again. So what can people do? Are we going to see a mass industry of implanted defibrillators, sub-Q, that people are going to get to prevent their hearts from going into flutter status?
I think that's already happening.
I haven't seen it, but I'll bet you're right.
And they will have, you know, these pig hearts ready to go.
I mean, they're working on that.
I mean, they've already, created this.
Pig kidneys are being transplanted now on at least a temporary. They're trialing them. They've made pig hearts genetically even closer to people, and they did the same thing with kidneys, and they've begun planting kidneys. That was a story we had about 6 weeks ago or something. I remember that. But yes, pig hearts could end up being big business. We'll see. If they can beat the rejection aspect, they'll have it made.
Oh, they have, because these are going to be humanized.
Right.
You know, they won't be expressing pig proteins.
No,
They'll be very compatible.
They've already altered them. Yes, both the kidneys and the heart. Probably the whole organism of the pig. So, I mean, why stop at the kidney and heart, huh?
Well, so the pigs are just grown to be, have their organs harvested.
Organ banks. Well, it's either that or they're grown to be bacon and ham.
Yeah.
I mean, they're killing them either way.
You're right.
Ham and eggs, Edward L. Bernays.
But, this was clearly at 16 years old, this was probably, I would bet, a very young, healthy, fit kid.
Oh, it's sad. This is the mother talking, by the way. I think we got that out. But these declaring war on children, again, here we are, Satan's own. That's what they're doing. All right. Well,
we've got a there's a short one, a follow up, just to give you an idea of.
Good. I want to know one other thing though. I wish that they had included. They said his blood pressure was fine. What his blood looked like. I wish that was part of the description. That would have been helpful. They don't talk about that much, as you notice.
No, they don't talk about it at all.
They don't talk about Rouleau, which becomes roulette. it does. I think this idea of planting a defibrillator for most anyone with myocarditis could be a marketing bonanza if somebody got behind that.
I'm sure it's being done routinely now.
They're doing it. But I mean, if they wanted to push it. Here, okay, we'll give you a defibrillator to keep your heart beating with a normal cadence so it can push that sludge around your system and burn itself out twice as fast as it would have. Your heart can't push that crap around.
Well, and just remember that Japanese paper from, I don't know, was it a month or two ago, about when they did the PET scan of people who had received these mRNA injections.
Yes.
And their hearts were picking up the sugar from the PET scan.
They flipped
over.
Indicating
that you know, the hearts are not using
oxidative
phosphorylation or oxphos to create ATP. They're running on sugar. Why?
Completely crazy. Yeah. Yeah, we talked about that. Go ahead.
Okay, this is from a functional medicine doctor, Kelly. She says, two of my patients were a no-show today. I was able to reach one family. 44-year-old passed with a massive stroke. I had diagnosed 44. Him with myocarditis in October of 2023. He was a triathlete that got 4 injections.
Wow. Well, we've got an 80 to 90% compliance rate here in this country, so it's not a surprise.
No, and it's, you know, some of these comments, here's one. We've moved out of the acute phase and into the chronic phase. The clotting profile is a slow polymerization process, and no one is prepared for the death toll.
Now, that's an interesting word. Let's take a moment. Polymerization, polymers, to describe the blood, clotting. That's kind of interesting. Polymer, that's a new word. Like vulcanizing the blood is another new word.
You know, vulcanizing rubber. Yeah, polymer is a, a string of protein. So, you know, wherever this spike goes, it can cause protein misfolding and subsequent protein aggregation. And, I mean, they grow into fibrils, mm-hmm. otherwise known as polymers, oligomers.
Polymers, here, I'm just looking for fun to see what they say about it formally. A polymer is a substance or material consisting of very large molecules called macromolecules composed of many repeating subunits. Due to their broad spectrum of properties, both synthetic and natural polymers play essential and ubiquitous roles in everyday life. Now, how many of you knew that? Seriously, don't all hold your hands up at once. I can't count that fast. Nobody knows this stuff. It's either natural or synthetic. Polymers. We call it a substance profile, so to speak. And it's just another thing like porphyrins. That the body is made on such a delicate matrix of all kinds of molecularly sized or even smaller protein-sized objects, and they have to work together for a successful life. Otherwise, you go into flutter state and you die. Among other things. And we've seen pictures of damaged hearts, remember? How the spike causes the heart muscle not to become any longer these beautiful parallel lines of striated muscle, but scarring everywhere. And it's no wonder that the electronic signals to the heart can't get through and do what they normally do, and the heart will end up just laying there kind of spasming.
Yeah.
Not a surprise. Polymers. What else about polymers? Anything?
Not really, no. I mean, you've got polymers forming in the blood.
All the time.
Well, when the spike is around, yeah.
Non-stop. When you become a spike factory, which is what happens after you have been injected with the death vaccine, you're in real trouble, whether you know it or not. And these things can lie sub rosa for 2-3 years, and then all of a sudden it all gangs up on you and you have crisis after crisis. Or you just stop. This thing is horrible, absolutely horrendous.
Get a couple more comments here to that.
Good.
Someone says, keep trying, Kelly. I still wonder about my husband exploding with cancer after the kidney transplant. And yes, he had to, according to Mayo Clinic, meaning he had to take the shots.
Right.
And another one says, are you seeing huge increases in patients with GI problems? We are seeing so many cases of appendicitis, pancreatitis, diverticulitis, cholecystitis. We are in a heavily vaxxed, but not large, community. So many people leaving with colostomies.
Oh, fun. Yeah, this is going on all over the place. Absolutely crazy. Okay. Anything else? Do you have another comment or two there?
No, that sums it up.
All right. Here's our friend John O'Looney, who would have been on the program long ago, but he'd have to get up at 3 a.m., and I think most of you know how hard John works, so we didn't want to push him. All right, here's a video. This is short. It's a couple minutes, but it makes another very valid point, and you will see.
Good evening, guys. March the 21st, 2024, I should think. Then it's flying past, isn't it? And I'm just out walking the dog, and thought I would tell you all about a conversation I had with my son's school, Hazley School, in Milton Keynes. Now, he's in year 8. When he started in year 7, I know they've got an immunisation nurse and an immunisation policy, so I preemptively emailed the school before the September, said to them, you know, I'm a funeral director who's seen lots of people dying following vaccination, and I do not give you consent to touch my child with any vaccines. I know you've got a vaccination policy and an immunisation nurse, etc. Please don't touch him. This is, you know, notice of that refusal of consent, whatever. Didn't get a reply to the email, but I took a phone call three, four days later, in the office at the funeral home, and it was a girl called Sarah. She said, hi, I'm Sarah. I'm the immunisation nurse from Hazley. I just wanted to talk to you about your email. So I said, okay. And I took the time to explain to her what I'd seen and the fact that, you know, a lot of kids were getting hurt and people were dying and being killed. And I thought she'd be shocked and horrified. No. She said, yes, I know the risks. Okay. So I said to her, okay. I said, have you got children yourself? And she said, yeah, I've got two. She said, I think she said they were 10 and 8 or whatever. And I said, would you vaccinate them? She went, oh, no. Oh, no. I said, okay. I said, so you know the risk, you know it's dangerous. You won't vaccinate your own kids, but you'll vaccinate mine. Oh, I have to, it's my job. And this is the problem we've got, guys. We've got a lot of very sick, sad souls doing very bad things they know they shouldn't be doing for money. When will it stop? When will these people get a backbone and a conscience? It beggars belief. It's almost like I'm on the wrong fucking planet.
Well, John, you're not alone in your sentiments. A lot of us feel the same way. It's the people, the quality of people at the helm of this planet who are in the wrong place. They should not be on this planet.
I agree.
What should be done to all these people who actually facilitated the mass genocide and mass murder of this planet? That's just a thought for all of you. What should be done to all these nurses, male, female, I don't care, who jab these needles in people? They are accountable.
Or the ones who carried out the death protocols at the hospital, knowing that the protocols were not working, that they were killing people.
Right. Forcing people on vents, forcing them, well, like our friend John, who was murdered in the hospital. They gave him medications without his permission and killed him. So
yep.
I don't know. If you go into the hospital, boy, are you running a risk, and you better have somebody who is able and willing to watch over your shoulder as an advocate plus, and that person better be right on top of everything. Remdesivir will kill you as sure as we're talking right now. And they give that to people a lot in the hospital without any permission, even against permission, which happened to our friend. He said, no remdesivir. And they went ahead and the doctor gave it to him. Ha, 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 don't worry. I just gave you enough to save your life. That's what he said. Dead the day after Christmas. All right. What do we have from the magic bus here? I mentioned it earlier slightly.
Yeah, this is a woman who is a social worker, and she was working as a social worker during the pandemic, and she just describes how the whole thing unfolded, how bizarre it was, and after the vaccines rolled out, the games that were played.
Oh, and they're still playing the games. Endless games.
Of course they are.
Okay. Are we ready? Are we all ready? Are we ready?
Do you have it? Yeah.
I have it. I'm ready.
Yep.
All right. Here we go. Oh, she's wearing her. She's on the Children's Health Defense bus, right? And she's wearing her RFK and 24 t-shirt. All right, well, that's appropriate. How to win friends and influence people. Here we go.
All right, we are live. Can you tell us your name, please?
My name is Sol Ryu.
Your name is what?
Sol is my first name and Ryu.
Okay, Sol Ryu.
Is my last name, yes.
Okay, and tell us what you're a social worker during COVID. What does that mean?
Well, social workers do lots of things, but what my position was I was embedded in a primary care clinic, and I would get referrals from the doctors when they felt like people had emotional problems that needed to be addressed. So it could be mental illness, it could be people that were dealing with grief or stress or, you know, things like that. And that was my job as a social worker there.
And so what happened? Talk to us about, tell us your story.
Well, one day we were told we couldn't see anybody because there was a pandemic going around, and so it was really a nightmare of information, mixed information. Somebody, the head of our health department said, well, kids won't get this virus because it's similar to the cold and they have immunity, and then the next day they'd be saying, you know, you can't see anybody except on telephone, or we had to switch to medical care and emotional care through telephone, and then finally we got the computer. And it wasn't for a while. It was several months later I started getting people coming into my office because they were very upset and stressed out. And one woman came in, and she said since she got vaccinated, she had a migraine every single day, all day long, and she'd been back and forth to different doctors, and not a single doctor could give her anything that helped. All the things that helped with a regular migraine did not help her. And I said, wow, well, did you report the vaccine injury? Did your doctor? And my doctor said it has nothing to do with the vaccine, but it started the day after I got vaccinated, so I don't believe him. Then I had a woman come in who said that she had been woke up one day, like a week after she got the vaccine, I think it was. No, it's 3 days after she got the vaccine. She woke up and she couldn't breathe. So she went to the ER and they diagnosed her with a heart attack. And she's like, well, I didn't have a heart attack. I just woke up and I couldn't breathe. But apparently there's a number that they show that says you've had a heart attack. And since then, I've heard that it means that the muscle of your heart has been damaged. So previously, that's how they would diagnose a heart attack. Well,
as in myocarditis, scarring of the heart muscle, which we should pull those pictures back up. It's pretty grim. And how about the, I guess it was Arnie Burkhart's work, where they dyed the T lymphocytes and how they were going after the spike protein in the heart muscle.
Yep.
And leaving scar tissue behind. Just frightful. This is your immune system at work, and it's going after your cells that have been compromised, and that's how your immune system kills you. This is crazy.
This showed, of course, 3 days after she got the vaccine, she had muscle damage in her heart. It didn't show she had a heart attack. It showed
3 days after the shot.
Vaccine injury, right? And so I asked her, if she had said anything to the doctor about that. And she says, oh, yeah. I said, this must be, from the vaccine. And the doctor said, no, there's no relationship. And so this poor woman was going back and forth between the pulmonologist and the cardiologist. They were trying to figure out how to help her condition where she couldn't breathe. And they both kept referring her back to the other department because they couldn't find anything because it was a vaccine injury, right? And they weren't looking for that, or they were looking at traditional problems with hearts and lungs. And then another guy who had like a bypass surgery right after the vaccine, and somebody else who had a heart attack right after the vaccine, and they actually didn't connect it because they were told. I said, it's 3 days after your vaccine, Oh, there's no relation. My doctor told me there's no relation, so.
It's extraordinary how people are so believing in these doctors.
But also there were concerns, number one, the pressure. I mean, I didn't want to get vaccinated. I had the year before I'd gotten vaccinated because they, in the hospitals, if you don't get vaccinated, then you have to mask. So I got a flu vaccine the year before, and my naturopath said, oh my God, your body's all toxic. We have to detox you. What have you been doing? And it was from the vaccine. So I wasn't going to get vaccinated, but they would literally come to my office. A nurse would come to my office. Oh, we have extra vaccine. We have extra COVID vaccine. Serum or whatever they call it, and we notice that you haven't been vaccinated.
Come on
down.
So
how about right now?
Come on down.
And this would be announced with everybody around, and there was so much pressure, and there was no confidentiality about who was vaccinated and who wasn't with the patients. In fact, the people at the front desk who were hired to answer the phones and make appointments were charged with going down the list of patients. And anybody who wasn't vaccinated, they were calling them and asking them to get vaccinated and trying to set up an appointment, breach of confidentiality and HIPAA. And when I mentioned this to my neighbor who is on the hospital, he's a commissioner for the hospital, he said, HIPAA during a pandemic? Are you crazy? So anyway, I was just,
Johnson. And then
I had adverse effects too.
So what happened after
Johnson? Oh my God. I woke up, it was Friday I got vaccinated, and Tuesday I woke up and I was like, what is the matter? I'm sick, I'm drugged, what's the matter? I can't think, I can't focus, I don't have any energy. And I called in sick that day. But it continued. I mean, I would go to work and I couldn't get through the day without laying down on the floor and taking a nap, and I still was exhausted and I couldn't read my computer. My eyes couldn't focus and I couldn't remember things. So, I'd have who I was supposed to see, on my computer. I would enlarge it, which was a real pain in the butt, and nobody would help me because, you know, when I talk to my supervisor and other people about, you know, since I've had the vaccine, I can't see, you know, they didn't want to have that conversation. But anyway, when I finally figured out how to enlarge it with tech support, I could see who my patient was, but I couldn't remember from the time of reading it in my office to walking into the waiting room to say, you know, who I was going to see. And then I couldn't remember when I brought them back to my office why they were there. So anyway, I had to retire because it was unethical for me to continue. But I mean, I also have, my eyes stuff has not gotten better. And the exhaustion, I've been working like, what is it now? 2024. And this was in 2021. So for 3 years, I've been working with my doctor trying to figure out why I'm exhausted. And we've gone through all sorts of things. And it was discovered that I have supraventral tachycardia.
Okay, that's another irregular heartbeat, I guess is another way to phrase it, correct?
Yeah, yep.
Now that's ventricle again, not atrial. That's, and that's
Superventricle, yeah.
Wow. Well, many of you listening are suffering from these exact symptoms right now. It's not a hard call to make. All right, here we go.
I also hear is being called POTS and is being related to long COVID. So obviously it's a vaccine injury because they're the, both the same thing.
Are you done with vaccinations now and no more?
Are we absolutely no more.
Any pandemic, future one? Any scaremongering? Any job? You will not take a vaccine?
Oh, no.
For any reason?
No, probably not. I mean, I was always hesitant, like, I didn't take the my doctor said, you want the pneumonia vaccine? And I said, why? Well, it will stop you from getting pneumonia, and you're in your 70s, and you're likely to get pneumonia. And I said, well, I've heard pneumonia is the angel of death to older people. And she says, what? And I said, well, if you're unhealthy and you get pneumonia and you die, it's because you're unhealthy. You know, I mean, why would I want a vaccine to keep me alive, hooked up to a machine or something? If I'm unhealthy enough to die of pneumonia, then I should be dead. And then the shingles, they want me to take the shingles. I was like, I don't want the shingles. So no, I've never taken vaccines. But like I said, the hospital was pretty insistent. I mean, what actually happened was I woke up one morning and I felt like kind of ill. So I called in sick. So mandated going down, getting tested to see if I have COVID. And that was when it took 3 days to get the results back. So I was sitting there for 3 days.
And those days were PCR days, were they not?
Yeah, yep.
I was quarantined and said, oh my God, if this test comes back positive, because I knew lots of people were getting COVID around me, I will be the first person in this hospital that was a staff person and got COVID and went to work with COVID. And I would be on the front page of the newspaper. I'm in a small town. We have a staff person at the hospital who has COVID. And I would be the first one. And I said, oh my goodness. And everybody knows I'm unvaccinated. So that was when I said, okay, if I get COVID, I want to be at least able to say that I've been vaccinated, you know, if I'm going to be the first.
Look at the consequences of that.
Yeah, I know. It was, I wish now that I had found the support. You know, that's what I was thinking. If I knew anybody else in the hospital who hadn't been vaccinated, I think I would have felt good about not getting vaccinated. But all I heard, you know, like people in the, I started hanging out with a group in town called Health Freedom Information, and I got all this more information about how unsafe the vaccines were, you know, once I had the vaccine injuries. And it was so upsetting because, like, I'd go into the staff lounge and somebody go, oh, I just got vaccinated, so I have a chip in me and it's going to, and I can hear it telling me things that aren't true from the universe, or, you know, all the things out there that we're concerned about, they would mock and make fun of. And one time I was really upset because this young girl came in, she was 13. And her teacher was asking the class how many people were going to get vaccinated because the vaccine was out for children. And she raised her hand and she goes, I am not getting vaccinated. Any company that puts asbestos and baby powder is not going to put anything in my body. And I was so proud of her, and I came out and I told one of my coworkers, and she goes, poor kid, probably your mother's listening to those conspiracy theories.
Well, there you go. It's true. Peer pressure, peer ignorance, deadly ignorance at that. So that's one of the things we try to help people with, point you in the right direction. You got to make your own decisions, though. It's appalling after 4 years now how ignorant most people remain, even the vax injured. A lot of them have figured it out, but there's a lot of denial out there that it wouldn't be the vax, because they would have to assume responsibility. They made a bad choice, and people don't do that. They don't like to do that. It's just human nature. I get it. Okay, very good. So what's next? What do you want to do next here? We got a ton of stuff to do.
You pick.
Jump on our readers. We got.
Sure.
All right. Did we finish off with that group?
I don't think we did any from.
No,
from
we didn't.
Wednesday.
There's just two groups that we haven't touched. Let's go back to
or
April 12th.
Or we could
12th.
Do.
We've got the ALS.
We haven't done shedding in a while. We could do some of these.
Okay. Do you want to do the last few rapid progressing ALS? Rapid onset
okay.
ALS? Okay, rapid onset ALS. That's on April 12th. That's right near the bottom. It's fourth from the bottom. Go ahead.
All right. My wife broke her ankle from drop foot in January of 2023.
What is
diagnosed
drop foot?
In May.
Help me out here. I'm ignorant. What is drop foot?
Well, drop foot is when you're kind of lame. You go to take a step and the foot doesn't want to come along.
Huh. Okay.
So it's you don't have a lot of control over that foot. It becomes awkward and you trip a lot.
Got it. Gotcha. Okay.
So she was diagnosed in May of ALS and passed on February 23rd, 2024, at age 52. She had the feeding tube installed 4 days prior to passing. I was her sole caretaker until the beginning of February this year. The last few weeks, she needed 24/7 care. I had my son move in so we could take shifts. I stopped working entirely. I had been working part-time for 6 months. It's been almost 2 weeks. I still wake up to check on her and still don't sleep much. It feels weird to leave the house. ALS is a cruel and relentless disease. We never got in front of the disease. It moves so fast.
That's turbo ALS, maybe. All right, here's
That's... Okay, go ahead.
No, I got going on to the next one. You finish.
Okay.
Diagnosed on Tuesday. Go ahead. Let's finish
okay,
your comment.
Go ahead. ALS is a tricky diagnosis, and I just want to reiterate that you really do need to pursue the possibility that you could have Lyme. Lyme is a great mimicker of ALS, and there's a surprising number of people that actually do have this Borrelia spirochete in them that is causing what looks to be ALS. And if they're treated for it, there's a chance, very good chance, they can reverse the course of this disease. It wouldn't have to be a fatal diagnosis.
In general, I want to just take 10 seconds. Please consider Allicin C, one capsule a day, as a preventive, and get on Bio Superfood. It is the most important nutritional product on the planet, in my humble opinion. And it is loaded. It has over 15,000 different nutrients, many of which your body never sees if you eat the average American diet. Bio Superfood, one of the biggest secrets on the planet. And Allicin C is right with it. Those two will do an awful lot to help you. All right, next up. I've been twitching since March 2023. I had scans which showed upper motor neuron problems, but other than my voice going hoarse at the end of the day, I had no physical symptoms. I had 3 EMGs in 2023, April, July, and December, all just showing, what is that word?
Fasciculations. Fasciculations. That means your muscles are twitching. You can see them under the skin. They're twitching. You know, without your wanting them to twitch.
Okay.
You know, they're twitching on their own.
I'll say it again. I had 3 EMGs in 2023, April, July, and December, all just showing fasciculations. That's fasciculations. Vasculations. Even the one in mid-December. Each time the tech said, it was BFS, even though my voice was getting worse and worse. When I had my results meeting in January 2024, I was again told, just vasculations detected. By then, I was struggling to walk, especially walking downstairs, as my leg would wobble for a second when lifting it and putting it back down. I was struggling with my hands, not able to hold a knife and fork, and my speech was mumbling and slurred. I was diagnosed with BFS. Help, Chief. BFS,
benign fasciculation syndrome.
Good. You get an A for effort on that one. It's very good. Has to be what it is. So I was diagnosed with benign fasciculation syndrome and told I'd be seen by him, the doctor, again in June. I went to my GP and begged for support. In the end, the neurology department called me back early March instead of June. I repeated the EMG, and this time I was told it's MND, motor neuron. That's your cue.
Disease?
Thank you. Good guess. All right. I don't know. I feel not listened to. Gee, I wonder why. All year I said I was losing dexterity in my hands and how the clonus was getting worse and speech and swallowing getting worse as well, but he just kept saying I have BFS. December I walked 7 miles doing Christmas shopping. Now I can't walk around a shop. My speech is not understandable to most, and talking more than a few minutes, I actually start to gag and choke. If I do any walking, about an hour later, my legs ache and burn. I'm declining so fast. No support is in place yet. My next appointment is in 2 months, and personally, I don't think I'll be walking by then. I was offered medication that is meant to slow it slightly and was told we can talk about it later. But I need it soon, if it's to do anything at all. One saving grace is I don't think my breath is affected yet. I'm lost and frightened and worried how far I have fallen in just the last 4 months. Wow.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
ALS is a pretty dire diagnosis, and it tends to progress and ultimately end up in respiratory paralysis, where you lose the ability to breathe.
But there have been reversals.
There have been people who. We're pretty far gone on ventilators, quadriplegic, that have actually reversed the course of their disease. And these are documented recoveries. This doctor at Duke University, what's his name, Dr. Rick Bedlack, has been following these reversals and trying to find out how these people have reversed their disease, because it was not through any specific medical treatment. But a one really remarkable one, and it was the first one in his series. He's documented 60 of them so far, which is a small number, you know, given how often it's diagnosed. But it was the story of this Nelda Buss, B-U-S-S, who developed ALS back in 1985.
This is an amazing story.
Yeah, it really is. She wrote a book. It's called Can You Walk Yet? She's still alive, but she was a quadriplegic. This thing had progressed very rapidly. Within a year, she was in a wheelchair, and a quadriplegic was using, at that point, her mouth to try to type, you know, with a pencil, and she...
Wow.
She was determined, but she had also a very extremely supportive family and community that just, they were there for her. Whatever she wanted to do, they would assist. And I tell you, it's really almost a tearjerker to see that kind of commitment. And she, like I said, I mean, you read the book, it's not that long, quite a story. And as I said, it was documented, this Dr. Rick Bedlack, who set a fairly high, you know, standard for determining whether or not it was a true case of ALS, and it was. It met all the criteria, diagnostic criteria.
Mm-hmm.
She had gone to a energy healer. That was how it turned it around for her. And her family would drive her for several hours every other week to see this guy. Dean Kraft was his name, in New York. And he would work on her for a couple hours at a time, and then she'd go home and practice meditations and some exercise, you know, to the extent that she could. And yeah, by golly, it reversed. Really
incredible.
Remarkable.
Yeah. Incredible story.
So, yeah,
okay.
The book is...
what is it?
Can You Walk Yet?
Yeah. Buss is the last name?
Yeah,
she
Nelda.
Wrote it. She's the author. Yeah.
Yep.
Nelda. This is a nice old-fashioned name, Nelda. How many people do you know by the name Nelda?
Not many.
Not many, no. A lot of good old names that are Gen Z will have nothing to do with them.
Oh, it's almost a bygone era. You know, it was like reading the book is like looking at old-time movies.
Fun. Time travel.
Yeah.
So the book, when did she write the book, approximately? When did it come out?
I think it was fairly recently, sometime in the last 5 years, I want to say. You know, she was mm-hmm. still doing well. I mean, you know, you can look her up online, too. There was a video of her, I think 60 Minutes did a feature on her at one point, and she's, you know, out in the yard stacking wood with her husband.
Well, look for that on YouTube. It might be there. Look, YouTube, Nelda Buss. See if there's a video, 60 Minutes. They usually put them up.
Yep.
So there's some hope, some good news for possibly a few, at least, ALS victims and VAX victims. Crazy. It's a crazy
many
world.
Pathways to healing.
Yeah. Okay, partner, great job. Have a
All
good
right.
weekend, everybody, and we'll be right back with another hour. You have fun.
Okay.
Take care.
All right. Thanks, Jeff. Good night, everyone.
Back with more in just a few minutes.